Now that was a Bali song, Taksu Pulau Dewata, by someone called Katon Bagaskara. And we played that because you like that one? you're probably better at that than
me. It started with two lines that meant the wind was dancing. I thought, oh, that's a good song. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's a Balinese love song or something. Uh-huh. Anyway, the reason we played that is because Rita Ehrlich, our reporter, is talking to Chris Sallins, American-born and French-trained, and the owner of restaurants in Indonesia. Now, Mosaic, which is in Bali, is one of the most awarded restaurants in Southeast Asia. Now, Chris is back in Melbourne at the moment for the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival, and Rita caught up with him the other day.
He's an American-born chef who has lived and trained in France and now lives in Bali, where he has one of the best restaurants in Southeast Asia called Mosaic. He is here in Melbourne for the Melbourne Wine and Food Festival, and he is going to be cooking a dinner with Philippe Mouchel at Philippe Restaurant. Chris, this isn't the first time you've been to Australia, is it? You've been here before during food and wine festivals.
Correct. For Melbourne, I've been here before for the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival. And I've been to Sydney and Perth, and I'm actually going to Albany next month. So I've been a bit around Australia, not everywhere, but I've been here before, definitely.
And what took you to Bali? You opened your restaurant in Bali in 2001, which means that for a restaurant, it's venerable.
It's a long time. The first time I went to Bali was for a job. I was in New York City and dreamt of going to Asia. A Singaporean company hired me to open a hotel there. Little did I know that I would fall in love with an Indonesian, not a Balinese, but an Indonesian, and soon get back to Bali after having lived with my wife, Indonesian wife, in the U.S. for a couple of years. We decided to actually go to Bali for a holiday and never left.
Nice. That's a very long holiday.
It is still a holiday, but it's a working holiday.
Your approach to cooking seems to be using very much French techniques, but Balinese flavors. Correct. And suppliers.
Correct. It's cuisine du marché, or market cooking. You cook with what grows in your environment.
And typically, your dishes are served French style or Balinese style?
No, I focus on Indonesian flavors and ingredients, so flavors as in spice mixes, you know. My food is very European or very French. So the flavors are Indonesian, but when you look at the food, it looks, I don't want to say French, but yeah, it looks French.
It seems to me that of all the European cuisines, French is the most adaptable in terms of its flavors.
Yes, I think French cuisine, having lived in Indonesia now for 21 years, French cuisine unfortunately is a bit flat. I don't want to say that word, but too subtle, if you want. So to bring in these Asian flavors, which are quite bold, is quite interesting. So you use the techniques as in the lightness and the juiciness and the flavor, intensifying flavors through French techniques. But I think that the food is not French in the sense that it has a lot of oomph.
Those really boom, boom, boom flavors. More the flavors of the south of France, say, than of the north.
Mm-hmm, for sure. Lighter, less creamy, less heavy, definitely lighter cuisine.
You've opened a couple of other places in Indonesia as well, called Spice,
yes.
I think, and they're less formal than the restaurant.
Correct. So the idea was to do, because Mosaic is award-winning, fine dining, tasting menus, etc., etc., we wanted to do something a bit more, because the concept of the food is so unique. I was the first, and probably still am, the only really focusing on this type of cuisine. So we wanted to do something for a wider audience, more people to taste the Indonesian flavors, not only through food, but also through cocktails and other types of drinks. So more of a gastro bar, if you want, or a casual dining experience.
And in easier to get to, in a sense, more accessible.
More accessible.
Because you're in Ubud in Bali.
Correct.
Why did you open there?
18 years ago, I did a market research which showed that Ubud had the highest average price in hotel rooms, which showed for a more high-end market of tourism. It was back then the Amandaris and the Four Seasons and the Como Shambhalas and those. Anyways, so whereas the other parts of Ubud, Bali, showed for a cheaper market. So I thought, you know, if I'm going to go for an award-winning high-end restaurant, I need a certain type of clientele who's going to appreciate what I'm doing. Believe it or not, I had a lot of criticism the first 4 years, especially from Indonesian media. And the reason they criticized me is say, who is this guy who's telling us what to eat? Because when I first arrived in Indonesia, the customer was king. Customer comes in and says, I want a steak well done with salad, and that's what you serve.
Well, certainly.
Yeah. Whereas I had more of the French mentality of, you know, I'm a chef, come and experience what I'm doing. Here's a tasting menu. There's no choice. And people were very shocked by that.
And it's a different, it's very much against the thread of Asian hospitality,
for sure.
Is not the guest, the customer's always right, but the guest is always to be pleased.
Exactly. Which we've achieved to do by trial and error.
Yeah. And you had worked in a number of high-end restaurants in the States and in France.
So
you'd worked at the French Laundry.
Correct.
In the States and in New York in...
It's called Boulet, after David Boulet, who was a chef owner.
And in France, you'd worked at a couple of three-star, I think.
Yeah.
Had you worked at...
I'm escaping my mind because it was so long ago. But what's that place on the Place de la Madeleine in Paris? My God. It was called Sandras.
Yeah, Sandras, yes.
And as well as Lustre de Beaumanière in the south of France near Avignon.
Yeah, which would have been a great place to work. That's a long time ago, obviously. What I'm getting at is that your training had been in high end.
Yes.
So that when you set up on your own restaurant, that would have been where you were thinking of going.
Yes, I think what really touched me in my training was the fact that we always had a market or a farm or a backyard where I worked. Even in New York City, we would go to Union Market twice a week, and that's, you know, the chef said, whatever you find in season, you buy, and we'll design a dish around it. So it was always, you know, going out and picking what's in the backyard or what's at the market or what's in the farm, bringing it back to the kitchen and cook. I've always been taught that way.
And that's what you do?
And that's what I did naturally.
Mosaic.
Yes.
So you have a network of suppliers?
It's a network of suppliers. It's a network of people in their backyards. It's myself. We have a 700 square meter farm, if you want, where we grow some flowers and whatever is not available or the farmers won't grow for us, for example. I'll give you an example. Kaffir limes.
Yeah.
We would like the flowers of kaffir limes. Nobody will grow those for us because they're too perishable.
That's about to be fruit.
That's right, you know, and the weight of a fruit is a lot more than the weight of a flower. So we grow our own, for example.
What do you do with flowers?
The flowers have an intense flavor. Amazing. It's a floral kaffir lime, if you want. So just a single petal on an oyster will give a full flavor of a kaffir, for example.
Okay, because I know the aroma of a kaffir lime.
But lose the bitterness and add a floral angle to it, or, you know, and that's what it is. So it'd be like orange blossom. It's kaffir blossom. Yeah.
Great. But that gives you huge flexibility then with your ingredients and your flavors.
Yeah, and we... I mean, that's, you know, that was the devil in the beginning, is consistency. You know, you're used in the West to in the modern world, that you get a product and you'll get it for a few months. In Bali, you could get a product once and tomorrow it's not available anymore. So instead of fighting against that, I just said, listen, give me what you got And when it's finished, give me the next thing that pops out of the ground. And so we have to be flexible, we have to be adaptable, and we have to be able to vary our menu all the time.
Which is where cooking techniques are so important.
Sure.
Because with once you've got the techniques right, you can adapt the flavors.
Correct.
Whereas if you don't have good technique, you're looking at the ingredients and saying every day, what do we do now?
Yes, it's good to be liberated from recipes and to only base yourself on techniques. It gives you the freedom to be creative. Then there is the issue of palate. Every palate is different. So you have to use your own palate and hope that the majority of your guests like it.
Over the years, you discover they do.
Well, there are different types of people. It's interesting in Bali, we get people from everywhere in the world. But, Asians like less salty. Europeans like more acidic. So you do discover that there's a...
There are national flavor profiles.
Yes, so don't complain. That's what's nice about them.
That's probably true. And the Americans?
Interestingly enough, our biggest market in 2018 through our data is Americans. And that was not true for a long time. So something's telling me the Americans are back. That doesn't answer your question. But nothing that I can report.
With the American tourists, now, did they disappear for a while and then come back?
They certainly did.
Was that after the financial crisis or political events?
I think it was more, what kicked it off, if you want, is the World Trade Center, that period of insecurity, I guess, for the Americans. And I would say that it died off then there was the economic crisis. So it died off for about 10 to 13 years. It was September 2001. We had a tsunami the following year, a bombing first, then the tsunami, then the SARS, then the second bombing, then the second tsunami, and we've gone through a lot of things.
The area's gone through a huge amount.
Yes, and therefore we've had to adapt, focus a lot on the local market, Indonesian market, Southeast Asian market, develop with the Korean and Taiwanese market. There's actually an interesting Taiwanese market. There are Taiwanese that are now traveling with money and appreciate good food and good wine, which is an interesting market, and as well out of China. And so Indonesia and Bali especially has gone through a lot of fluctuations and changes and has adapted and survived.
And will continue to do so,
I think. Back up, yeah. I think the last few 4 or 5 years, Bali's been spoken a lot about. And
it's always been a very precious island.
Yes, and I think it's the people and the culture.
That was Rita Ehrlich with Chris Salins of Bali's Mosaic Restaurant, and he's in town for the Melbourne Food and Wine Festival.